إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to La ilaha illallah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with our series, Purification of the Souls, and the section Al-Isti'adha, or seeking Allah's protection, or seeking refuge in Allah, from the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, with the authentic version by Muhammad Nasir Din al-Albani, we come to the chapter Babul Isti'adha min al-Jubun, chapter seeking refuge in Allah from being a coward, or from cowardliness, or whatever. Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah, he brings authentic hadith on the authority of Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal kana yu'allimuna khamsan kana yaqulu kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yad'u bihinna wa yaquluhunna allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni وأعوذ بك أن أرد إلى أرض للأمر، وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا، وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that he صلى الله عليه وسلم used to teach us five statements that he صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make dua with them, and he used to say them. And that is his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from greed, and I seek refuge in you from cowardliness, and I seek refuge in you from returning back or becoming senile, and I seek refuge in you from the fitna of this world, and I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he used to seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from being a coward. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam used to seek Allah's protection from being anything other than that which is commendable or praiseworthy. As we know, it is commendable for the believers to be courageous and not to be cowards. So that is the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam اللهم إني أعوذ بك من البخل وأعوذ بك من الجبن وأعوذ بك أن أرد إلى أرض للعمر وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. And the ulama of Islam on this dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes to the part and I seek refuge in you from the fitna of this world, they say it is the fitna of a dajjal. The fitna of this world is the fitna of a dajjal. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. And to repeat the dua one more time, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli wa a'udhu bika min al-jubni wa a'udhu bika أن أرد إلى أرض للعمر وأعوذ بك من فتنة الدنيا وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. The next chapter that the Imam brings رحمه الله is باب الاستعاذة من البخل, the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from greed and being stingy. And here we have the hadith of Anas ابن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه who said أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والبخل والهرم وعذاب القبر وفتنة المحيا والممات. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness and laziness and greed or being stingy and becoming senile and the punishment of the grave and the fitna of life and the fitna of death. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith and this dua, just as the dua before it, he also mentioned to seek refuge in Allah from being greedy. And this greediness that we have and this being stingy that we have been raised on, as the selfishness that we have been raised on, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام is seeking refuge in Allah تبارك وتعالى from being among the stingy and having this quality with us as a Muslim. And that we're beginning to see from this seeking Allah تبارك وتعالى's protection that every evil quality that a person could have with him, he should begin to seek refuge in Allah تبارك وتعالى from that quality, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give him the strength to remove that quality, that evil quality from his character. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seeking refuge in Allah from weakness or the inability to do something or the failure to do that which he has to do, any way of not fulfilling your obligations. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from not being able to do that which he has to do. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also seeking refuge in Allah from laziness or having the ability to do something and then you just don't do it. And to seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from that, and to seek it from the greediness and being stingy and selfish, and to seek refuge in Allah from becoming senile. And that is, once you become older, then you begin to act like a child. And to seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because not everyone who becomes old becomes senile. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from going back to that state after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has left us, has allowed us to leave that state of being a child and not knowing any better, and giving us the mind and the eyes and the ears to be able to hear the truth and listen to the truth and practice it. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from the punishment of the grave, as was mentioned in the other hadith. And this is a part of the belief of the Muslims, that we believe in the punishment of the grave, and that the punishment could start before you even reach the hellfire. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from this punishment of the grave and the punishment of our life. And the punishment of our life is, as some of the ulama say, to seek refuge in Allah from not being patient with that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sets you with. To seek refuge in Allah from not being patient to deal with the trials of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with. And to seek refuge in Allah from death, and some of the ulama say that this death, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from death, is from the fear after you die, to be questioned by a munkar and nakir, and that you might be confused, you don't know the truth. And this is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which may happen in the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare us for that which is in the grave. The next chapter of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is... Let me read that dua. I was trying to promise myself that I was going to read each dua at least 3 times. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-bukhli wal-harami wa'adhabi al-qabri wa-fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-bukhli wal-harami wa'adhabi al-qabri wa-fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, rahimahullah, Bab al-Isti'adha min al-Hammi, the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from sadness. And this is also on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوات لا يدعوهن كان يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وغلبة الرجال. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this dua or this al-isti'adha, he says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from sadness and grief, or worry and grief and sadness and failure and weakness, as was in the other hadith, and laziness and greed and cowardliness and to be overpowered by men. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in many of the hadith, he is seeking refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from some of the same things. We're going to see some of the things repeated from hadith to hadith. And this is because the Messenger of Allah sallam, is showing us the importance of seeking refuge in Allah from these particular things, and also to show us the seriousness or the evil of this quality being a quality from the character of the Muslim. So the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام says, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وغلبة الرجال. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from sadness and grief and worry. الهم والحزن. And there are 2 words in English that bring about this meaning, and I don't know them, maybe somebody can clarify it. At any rate, الهم and al-hazan, both of them are a type of sadness. But the hum is the sadness that you expect in the future, or that you're worried about something happening bad in the future. Like a child, he knows he's going to get a beating for what he did. When his parents come home, you can imagine how he's feeling a little sad and worried. And he's grieving before it actually took place. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from this type of sadness. The sadness that comes about before something happens, or you're expecting something to happen. And we also seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from al-hazan, or the sadness or the grief or whatever that had took place in the past. If something had happened, you got divorced from your wife or what have you, it's over with, but you still might have that sadness with you and it's lingering on. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from this sadness. And this is from the comprehensive statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as when he seeks refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from some type of evil, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from that evil in any way that that evil could come to us. In any way that the sadness and grief and worry and anxiety could overcome us, in any way, whether from the past events or from some future events that we expect, then we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from both of these types of sadnesses. As far as the issue of seeking refuge in Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, from the overpowering of the men, and that is that the people or the men would have the strength or the power over us, which would make us in a state of humiliation. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from having some men to be overpowering to us. And we'll explain that in a little more in the next hadith. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, who said, كَانَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ دَعْوَاتٌ لَا يَدَعُهُنَّ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْهَمِّ والحزن والعجز والكسل والكسل والبخل والجبن والدين وغلبة الرجال. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن والدين وغلبة الرجال. Here in this narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is basically saying what he said in the narration just before, and he adds one other point. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-ham, or the sadness of the past, and al-hazm, from the sadness of the future, and al-weakness, or the incapability of doing something, and being lazy, and greedy, and stinginess, and being a coward, and being in debt. And the Prophet ﷺ added this part, and being in debt, and being overpowered by the men. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge in Allah from these evil things, and we keep seeing the same things are coming up. And even I left out some hadith that are repeating the exact same thing that we're hearing for sake of repetition, that I was leaving it out. But we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is seeking refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from these evil characteristics, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazani wal-ajzi wal-kasali wal-bukhli wal-jubni wal-dayni wa-ghalabat al-rijal. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya, rahimahullah, he adds a little explanation or a little statement of clarification for this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and these hadith are seeking refuge from things that are very similar to one another, but they have a slight difference. And this is because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he had the best dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he was the best one to seek Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's protection from that which we need protection. And we can see how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking refuge in Allah from things that are similar, but they have the difference, which shows the comprehensiveness of the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he's seeking refuge in Allah from the sadness. And we had explained that one was the sadness of the past, and one is the sadness of the future events. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered sadness however it could come to us, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from this type of grief and this worrying. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sought refuge in Allah from the inability to do that which is right, and from the inability to do that which is good. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge in Allah from weakness and incompatibility, and also from laziness. And that these are basically both the same, in the sense that they are the inability to do that which is good, or the inability to do that which is right and correct and beneficial. As if you don't have the ability, you're incapable, impotent, you're a failure, you're disabled, that you won't be able to do that which you're supposed to do because you're disabled. Or in the other light, from laziness, you have the ability to do it, but you don't do it. So in both cases, the person isn't doing that which he's supposed to do, or that which is beneficial to him. One, because he's not able to, and the other is because he's able to, but he's not taking care of his responsibility. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking refuge in Allah from both of the ways of not doing good, either from being incapable or from being lazy, not being capable and not fulfilling that responsibility. And the next two things, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeks refuge in Allah from that which is not beneficial to a person, and that is greed and cowardliness. that both of them are no benefit to the individual. One is of no benefit to his body, and that is by being a coward, not wanting to fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not wanting to stand up and to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen for fear that you might get hurt, fear that you might get killed, that this cowardliness is of no benefit to your body. So this of no benefit is for your body, that there's no benefit if you don't give yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only given us our lives in order to use it in worship of Him and to defend His deen and to give it for the maintenance of His deen. The other side of stinginess is of no benefit with your wealth. If you don't give your wealth in charity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't purify your wealth and won't make it of that which would benefit you. As we know, the accumulation of the things of this world is of no benefit to the people, because the real life is the life of the hereafter. And whatever we accumulate from our wealth of this world and the possessions of this world, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes us, we're not going to take any of that with us. Nor is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala going to question anyone, how much did you earn in this world? How much worldly possessions did you gain? How many clothes did you have? Shoes did you have? Cars did you drive? How big was your house? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going to ask anyone about this. So yet being stinginess and looking out for number one and doing for self only and all of this type of kufr attitude, that this will be of no benefit to a person's wealth. And that the only way our wealth could benefit is by giving it in charity. And the more you give in charity, the more Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would bless your wealth. And that this is the way that we keep our wealth blessed, by giving it in charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way that we purify our bodies also, by giving the wealth. And maybe we hear this really talked about on the Zakatul Fitr after the Salah, the fasting of Ramadan, that nobody's fasting would have actually purified him until he gave his wealth for Zakatul Fitr, so that his fasting would have actually purified himself. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions Salah and Zakat together in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Zakat, the word Zakat, has two meanings. One is the zakat that we know of giving your money, and the zakat is also from the word of purifying yourself. So this word zakat, or the giving of money, also means the purifying of yourself. And if you don't use your money to benefit Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's deen by giving it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has only provided you with this type of wealth so that you can use it for yourself to benefit you, and then to give it for the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here the Shaykh is saying that both being a coward and being stingy, that these are two characteristics of no benefit to the individual. One is of no benefit to his body, and the other one is of no benefit to his wealth. The last one that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is seeking refuge in Allah from being in debt, and seeking refuge in Allah from being overpowered or conquered by men. And that both of these are being in a position of being overpowered. One is being overpowered by being in that state of humiliation because you're in debt and that person is always above you. You got my money, you got my money, until you pay him off. And if you have ever been in debt, then you know the weightiness of trying to pay somebody off what you owe him, and that state that you feel as if that person has overpowered you, as if he has conquered you, even if he can't beat you. And even if you don't have to give him back the money, it's still that feeling of paying that debt off and that feeling of being overpowered, just as in the other example of being overpowered by the men, meaning that the people are overpowering you in an oppressive manner. The people don't have the right to be over you, but they are oppressing you, like we find ourselves in an oppressive country and the circumstances basically in the world, that the believers are in an oppressive state, that this type of oppression and being overpowered by the people, that both of them are the same in the sense that you're being overpowered by the people, one in the sense of oppression, without the right to overpower you. And then the other one of the debt is that they have the right to overpower you because you owe them money. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is seeking refuge in Allah from this. And we see the comprehensiveness of the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's, for lack of better words, leaving no stone unturned when he's telling us and teaching us how to make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As the ulama mentioned, they say that the Prophet is teaching the ummah what to seek refuge in Allah from and what to seek Allah's protection in, as the Prophet had none of these bad qualities. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam had none of these bad qualities, but these are some of the qualities that his ummah could take for their character if they don't seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that's his dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-bukhli wal-jubun wal-dayni wa-ghalabat al-rijal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-bukhli wal-jubun wal-dayni wa-ghalabat al-rijal. And the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal-harami wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa fitnati ad-dajjal wa adab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from laziness and becoming senile and being a coward and being stingy and from the fitna of ad-dajjal and from the punishment of the grave. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal-harami wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa fitnati ad-dajjali wa adab al-qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasali wal-harami wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa fitnati ad-dajjali wa adab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from laziness and being senile and cowardliness and being stingy and greedy and the fitna of this world and the punishment of the grave. This first thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sought refuge in Allah from in this hadith, O Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you from being lazy. That this dua is the one that we should make for ourselves and we should teach the believers. Because unfortunately, and the sisters, we saw from their complaints on the women's forum and other than that, on the etiquette of in Islam for the women, that when the women get a chance to express themselves, we see that their main complaint is that the men are lazy. Sisters want to get married, but the men don't want to go out and to earn a living in order to provide for them because they're just lazy. And I'm saying this because I'm sad. I have a brother that works with UPS. He's in a position to hire any and everybody if they sign their name on the dotted line. All you have to do is sign your name and you're hired. I've been telling all of the brothers who don't have a job, sign your name and you're hired. Every week the brother comes Wednesday and Thursday and Tuesday, I think it is, and he says, Imam, do you have the brothers who are signing up? Nobody's signing up. Brothers don't have a job. All they have to do is sign their name and they're hired, and they won't even sign their name. And I've heard before a brother, and this is more than one, and this is just one example, another brother is coming, I got a job right now, I want the brothers to do some security work, I don't know, I have to check my schedule, and what schedule, you don't have a job? What kind of schedule you got, you don't have a job? I'm trying to see, does this conflict with me coming to the masjid to get my lesson, or this or that? It's compulsory on the believers, especially the men, to be the providers and the maintainers. How can a job be offered to you and you don't have one and you are particular about your job? I don't know, man. Is that hard work? A'udhu billahi from this laziness. And that I see that many of the Muslims, the brothers who are taking care of themselves, that they have this complaint that the brothers are lazy in general. And that we should seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from being among the lazy. And we should encourage the brothers to make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from being among the lazy. The brothers ask, who will volunteer to help us clean the school for a half an hour to move around some stuff or the vacuum or whatever. Everybody's ducking. Everybody's running. He doesn't have nothing to do. Did y'all start that already? And so on and so forth. We should seek refuge in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from being among the lazy, as the Muslim men should be, I forgot the opposite of lazy, hardworking and eager to always do something and to stay busy as we're seeking our rest and our relaxation in Jannah. And we're trying to work hard while we're in this dunya. And that the believing man isn't like the kafir man who is always looking for some type of recreation, some entertainment, some relaxation, just to cool out. The believing man is always looking for what he can do to work. Go to work and earn the money for his family. Come home and see where he can help out in the family. Go to the masjid and see what he can do. Looking out for the brothers to find out if anyone needs any help. As we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that Allah is in the help of his brother, of Allah's servant, who is in the help of his brother. Akhi, do you need any help? Can you handle that, akhi? You sure you don't want me to help you do such and such? This is the attitude of the Muslim. Eager, hardworking, always out trying to do something. And the disbeliever, their character is the character of laziness and cooling out and laying back. And we know that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in more than just this hadith, shows us the evilness of this laziness. As in the hadith of the people who do not want to practice the sunnah, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, don't let any one of you be found reclining on his big couches, saying, as for the Qur'an, whatever is in the Qur'an, I follow it, but for that hadith, I don't follow it. Indeed, what I have been given is exactly like the Qur'an, whereas the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. But we see that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us that those people of deviance, one of their characteristics is that they're cooling out on their big couches, just laying back, taking it easy, and when you call them to practice his deen, they're just laying back. Oh, I don't know about such and such. Oh, I don't know about such and such. This is the attitude of the disbeliever, and we need to seek refuge in Allah from laziness. Because even it has got to the level that the people have wanted a lecture on the topic of lazy men, and to advise the men and to warn the men from being among the lazy. So it had even got to that point, and we should really be eager to memorize some of these isti'adhas of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about seeking refuge in Allah from laziness. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the next hadith, and we're still in the chapter of sad, seeking refuge in Allah from sadness and grief and worry. Allahumma, and this is on the authority of Anas, that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-harami wal-bukhli wal-jubni wa a'udhu bika min azab al-qabri wa min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness and laziness and being senile and greed and cowardliness, and we seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave and from the fitna of this world, or the fitna of our life and the fitna of death. And I didn't find that any of the ulama had mentioned why Imam al-Nasa'i mentioned this under the chapter seeking refuge in Allah from grief and sadness and worry, because it's not mentioned in this hadith, nor was it mentioned in the hadith before it. And maybe there was some wisdom with Imam al-Nasa'i why he put this in the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from grief and worry, and I wasn't able to find anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Prophet ﷺ made this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali. And al-kasal is the word for laziness. Al-kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-harami wal-bukhli wal-jubni wa'udhu bika min azab al-qabri wa min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. The next chapter, the is Babul Isti'adha min al-Hazani, or the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from sadness, and this is the past sadness, and the other chapter was from the future sadness. And he brings the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, who said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا دعا قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وضلع الدين وغلبة الرجال. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والبخل والجبن وضلع الدين وغلبة الرجال. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from future sadness and grief and worry, and from past sadness and worry, and I seek refuge in you from weakness and the incapacity to do something, and disability and laziness and greed and cowardliness and the weightiness of being in debt and from being overpowered by the men. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge in Allah from the weightiness of being in debt. And as we were mentioning in the other class, and this is the time to mention it again, because I think this point has to be mentioned until we understand it and begin to practice it in our lives. The Prophet ﷺ is seeking refuge in Allah from the weightiness of being in debt. And we think that it's good to be in debt, and it's good if the Muslims want to establish something to put you in debt. Really, we have to look at, as we have begun to talk before, about these credit unions. And everybody's happy. He's happy because he's going to get some more of this dunya. He's happy because he can get some more of this wealth. He's happy because he can be successful in the light of Jahiliyyah, successful in the light of the Kufar. And we have mentioned, and we mention all the time, that success to the disbeliever is the acquiring of possessions in this world, getting the money and the wealth of this world, because they know they have no portion of the hereafter. And you see it from the people in the nation. They always talking about get yours and do for yourself right now, because heaven and hell is right here, and you better get it now, because when you die, it's over with. Yeah, it's over with for you, in the sense that you won't have any more of those fine things that you had in this world. That's over with, and now comes the time for punishment. And even the Muslims, after believing in Islam and leaving Jahiliyyah, we think that it's okay to establish an institution that's going to allow us to get in the weightiness of debt. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us to seek refuge in Allah from this debt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us to seek refuge in Allah from being in debt. How can we all be happy about being in debt and saying you're just jealous? Muslims trying to do some good for the believers and you're just mad. When the people start benefiting from a credit union, then what you gonna have to say? How in the world are the people going to benefit from the weightiness of being in debt? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah ta'ala in many ayahs is teaching us to be patient, teaching us to be happy with the decree of Allah ta'ala, and that whatever situation Allah puts us in, we're happy. And that this is the attitude of the believer, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the authentic hadith, that I'm amazed at the believer. If bad happens to him, he's happy and he praises Allah, alhamdulillah. And if good happens to him, he praises Allah, alhamdulillah. The believer, alhamdulillah, is happy and praises Allah in all situations. And because of that, I'm amazed at the believer and no one else. Whereas the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says in that authentic hadith, and I think it's collected by Imam Muslim. But we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is amazed at the believer because he's happy of the situation that he finds himself in, because he know if it's good, he's praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and if it's bad, then he know it's from himself. As we were just mentioning earlier today from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, من وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه, that whoever finds some good, then praise Allah, alhamdulillah, and whoever finds other than that, then there's no one to blame except himself. And we were seeing this just the other day when people were talking about it seems to be oppressive in Islam that we have to obey our leaders and our leaders are corrupt. Whoever find other than that, then there's no one to blame but yourself. Because of you and your deeds, that the people in charge of you are like the people in charge of you. It's because of your deeds and your sins and your turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the criminals as your leaders, put the ignorant as your leaders, put the stupid and the foolish people to handle your affairs because of your sins. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking refuge in Allah from something that we need to understand. This is the attitude of the believer. Ain't nobody happy to have no American Express card, MasterCard, Visa, Sears, Bambergers, Macy, Sunoco, Pathmark, ShopRite. All of this stuff is just to put you in debt. You just go, and it seems to be good because you spend more money. And if the brothers who had the credit cards, they remember what it used to be like, it used to just feel good. Boom. Because when you drop your MasterCard or your Visa on the table, wallahi, that money speaks. And I seek Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's forgiveness. As I remember when I went to Medina, I still had my MasterCard with me. And I was ignorant. And I was saying, if those Arabs act like they act, I bust out my MasterCard, get me a plane ticket, and get up out this joint. And this was my attitude when I went to Medina, because I was under ignorance of this society as I was new in Islam. And I kept that MasterCard and Visa right close to this pocket, as I know you can go anywhere in the world and take care of your business. And I remember going to the bank just to try it, to get that first $100 just to see, am I good? I went to the bank, I told them I don't speak no Arabic, I speak English. Hold up my car, bring somebody here, I got the big one. They went out, they got the manager, and believe me, in every country in this dunya, you go to a bank, they got somebody in there who speak English. And that MasterCard and that Visa going to talk when you walk in there. We think that this type of credit is good for us, and we think that we powerful. I got the American Express card. I can go, I can get whatever I want, wherever I want. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to seek refuge in Allah from this. And then plus, from the jump street, it's haram. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward the brother Mateen for informing us that those credit cards are haram from signing it. If you never use it, you're in the haram, and the curse of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is on the people who own the credit cards. The curse of Allah is on the people who own the credit cards. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the curse of Allah is on four people when it comes to riba. The one who pays the riba, the one who accepts the riba, the one who signs a riba contract, and the one who bears witness to the signing of the riba contract, all four of them are cursed by the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahibi wa sallam, who does not speak on his own desires. He only speaks from revelation revealed to him. And this is a point that we have to understand, just the signing. When you sign, and I remember when I had my MasterCard and Visa, I used to hate debt, but I used to use it as it becomes a part of society. It's a little safe. You don't have to carry your money on you and what have you. But I used to pay it all before the end of the month, or like you do with your American Express card, and you don't pay any interest if you pay on time. People think that they cool if they pay before they pay an interest. Say, I ain't paying no interest. You sign the contract. If I'm late by one day, I agree to pay riba. That agreement to pay riba is the signing of a riba contract. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said the curse of Allah are on four people in relationship to this riba. The one who pays it, accepts it, signs the contract, and the one who bears witness. And you know sometimes people co-sign. You co-sign up for somebody. You're co-signing, you in riba. You ain't even got the card. You don't even own the card. You ain't even got nothing to do with that person paying and accepting and nothing. You just co-signed them. Huh, listen, it's on you. You just need a little help. I'm looking out for you. You ain't looking out for nobody. You looking to be among the people who have the curse of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on him. We have to stop having this kafir jahiliya attitude into thinking that this credit is something good. Islam ain't built on no credit. Islam is built on charity. Sadaqah. Giving fi sabilillah. Not during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but today. that this dean and the poor people are being benefited and helped by the charity of the believers. Not by nobody's credit. Ain't nobody's credit got the poor straight. And we live in America and we know what capitalism is. And we know that credit is a system to make the rich richer and the poor poor. Everybody knows that. Because many of us, we lived that poverty and we saw that credit ain't get us nowhere but on drugs. That credit ain't get us nowhere but to steal. That credit ain't get us nowhere but living in the worst communities in America. That's the only way that credit got us. It ain't get us nowhere if we got it. And most of the credit we got, we didn't even get the official credit. We got it from the unofficial loan sharks. And the people be looking after you because you owe money. You ducking and hiding because you weren't satisfied with the situation, with the decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in. We need to stop thinking that this is a good thing to put the believers in credit and that this is going to help the poor. If you want to help the poor, invite them to your house and feed them. Take a certain part of your salary and give it to them. If you want to help the poor, be around to try to help give them a job. Offer them some assistance in the situation that they find themselves in. This is the way that you're going to help the poor. You look into your pocket and you see how much you can give to the people who are poor. This is how you're going to help the poor. We're not going to establish no credit union that's going to help nobody but get in a situation that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to seek refuge in Allah from. As he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazani wal-ajzi wal-kasli wal-bukhli wal-jubni wal-dala'i d-dayni وَضَلَعِ الدَّيْنِ the weightiness of being in debt وَغَلَبَتَ الرِّجَالِ O Allah, I seek refuge in you from future sadness and from past sadness, from disability and laziness and greed and cowardliness and the weightiness of being in debt and from the overcoming of being overpowered by the men, either by being oppressed by them or otherwise. Yes. Poor Muslims or poor people in general? I don't get what you're trying to say. When I'm talking about helping, I'm talking about helping the Muslims. I hope that nobody ever misunderstands me to think that I'm encouraging the believers to help the disbelievers. But what I would encourage the people to be towards the disbelievers is that what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala encourages us when he says, Muhammad al-Rasulullah wal-lazina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffar. Muhammad, and this is at the end of Surah Al-Fath, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and those that are with him are harsh against the disbelievers. You think I'm worrying about a disbeliever starving? That's only the beginning of his punishment. We're looking out for the believers. And anyway, I don't know what to say, appalled or amazed that the believers ask me, should I feed the poor kafirs? Feed the poor kafirs? Sisters need all kind of help around here. Single sisters. Sisters who have children. They need help financially and otherwise, and the brothers walking around talking about what kafir he can help. SubhanAllah al-Azim. We looking for what kafir we can help. All of these sisters, they need help with their children. All of these sisters, they need help with their rent. All of these sisters that need to be married. We talking about what kafir we can help. Yeah, we can help them by saying, say la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. This is how we can help the kafir. Because no money is going to benefit him if he dies on that kufr that he's on. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, hafizahullah, is Bab al-Isti'adha, min al-Maghri, min al-Maghrim, wal-Ma'tham. And this is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akthar ma yata'awwadhu min al-Maghrimi wal-Ma'tham. Qultu ya Rasulullah, ma akthar ma tata'awwadhu min al-Maghrim. Qal, إنه من غرم حدث فكذب ووعد فأخلف. Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to seek refuge in Allah from debt and being in sin so much that he used to seek refuge in Allah from these two things. So I said, and this is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha speaking, I said, "Ya Messenger, O Messenger of Allah, I see you seek so much refuge in Allah. I see you ask Allah from so much protection of being in debt." And the Prophet ﷺ says, "Indeed, because who is in debt? When he speaks, he lies. And when he promises, he breaks his promise. And all you have to do is know the people who are in debt, and for sure this is their characteristic." Akhi, where's my money? You don't know? Man, I thought the brother told you, and then the brother, and you look him right in his face and you just feel sad because you know he's lying. He promised you he's going to meet you at such and such a place. When you see him, "You didn't see me there? Subhanallah, akhi, I was right there, I was waiting for you. Man, maybe my watch was 10 minutes off or something, I missed you." This is the result of being in debt from the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and ain't nobody in debt going to convince me when he speaks he don't lie. And he's not going to convince me when he promised he breaks his promise. Because either I'm going to believe him and disbelieve in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or I'm going to believe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and disbelieve in him when he tells me I'm not going to lie. When he tells me I'm not going to break my promise. If you in debt, this is one of your, these are two of your characteristics from the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who only the truth comes out of his mouth. As one day he held out his tongue and he said, "Nothing comes off of this except the truth." And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who are in debt, they lie when they speak and they break their promises, then we can know for a certainty that the people in debt, that these are two of their characteristics, and we seek refuge in Allah from being in debt. And that we need to memorize these du'a from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we don't fall into this stuff, because it'll mess up our character. And we, I don't know how everybody's so happy and so supportive of an institution that is going to make liars and break people to break their promises from the Muslims. And we acting all encouraged and all enthused as if we're doing something by encouraging the Muslims to be liars. And these words that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, al-maghra wal-ma'sam, the ulama, they have different meanings to some of these words, by saying that it's the type of debt that you're in by force. You don't want to be in that debt, and you're in it, and then you can't pay it back. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is seeking refuge in Allah from having to be in a situation where you're forced to take the debt, though you don't want to, and then you still don't have the ability to pay it back. Or, as some of the ulama say, that these words, they mean being in the debt that would lead a person to commit sins. That this debt would just lead you to commit sins in general. That this just being in debt and this feeling of weakness and being overpowered just make a sinner out of you in general. And the ulama, they bring other meanings for these words, but we can begin to get the understanding that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us to seek Allah's protection from being in this evil state of death. And we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from being in debt, as Imam Ahmed was mentioning, that it leads us to stick up and all kind of other stuff from just being in debt. So we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from being in debt, and we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to remove the debt of all of the people who are in debt. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften the hearts of those people who have put other people in debt, so that they would overlook the debt of the people in debt. Ameen. The next chapter that Imam al-Nasa'i brings is Al-Isti'adha Min Sharri al-Batar, the seeking refuge in Allah or Allah's protection from the evil of the eyesight.
from the evil of the eyesight, and he brings a hadith of Shaql ibn Humay, who said, I said, Ya Rasulallah, علمني دعاء علمني دعاء أنتفع به. قال قل اللهم عافني من شر سمعي وبصري ولساني وقلبي ومن شر مني. اللهم عافني من شر سمعي وبصري ولساني وقلبي ومن شر مني. اللهم عافني من شر سمعي وبصري ولساني وقلبي ومن شر مني. He said, O Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, teach me a dua that would benefit me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I command you to say, O Allah, cure me from the evil of my hearing, and cure me from the evil of my sight, and cure me from the evil of my tongue, and cure me from the evil of my heart, and cure me from the evil of my sperm. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is encouraging us to benefit from this dua that he had taught his companion, Shaql ibn Humayd. O Allah, cure me from the evil of my hearing, so that I don't hear anything that isn't, displeasing to you. And so cure me from my hearing, from my sight, so that I don't have to see that which is displeasing to you. And cure me from my tongue, so that I don't speak on issues that don't concern me, or I don't speak in a manner that is displeasing to you. And cure me from the evil of my heart, so that I don't hold corrupt belief. I don't have an incorrect aqidah, so that my heart doesn't have any hatred and enmity from the believers. Cure my heart from the evil of just thinking about doing any type of bad. So here the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the heart. And the heart could have so much evil from the disbelief and kufr and corrupt sins and the hatred and enmity that the Muslims have for other Muslims, and that just the idea of just doing bad in your heart. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of your sperm, from your sperm overcoming you to the level that it forces you to commit fornication or adultery, or that it leads you to be close to that which is committing fornication and adultery, as both of them are haram, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and don't go close to fornication and adultery. So we seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from having our sperm be of the level that we can't control it till it just overcomes us and we do the haram. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to say, Allahumma aatini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi wa min sharri maniyyi. Allahumma aatini min sharri sam'i wa basari wa lisani wa qalbi wa min sharri maniyyi. And these are from the comprehensive statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In the next chapter, the Shaykh, he brings, or he titles it Al-Isti'adha min al-Ajzi, or seeking Allah's protection from disability and incapability and weakness and failure and just the absence of being able to do that which is necessary for us to do. And he brings the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, لا أعلمكم إلا ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والبخل والجبن والهرم وعذاب القبر. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن علم وعلم لا ينفع ودعوة لا يستجاب لها. Here Zayd ibn Arqam said, I won't teach you except that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And that this was the way of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they didn't teach the people blind following, because they would only teach the people that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam taught. And this is why you don't find people worshipping Abu Huraira or worshipping Zayd ibn Arqam or having Madhab Umar ibn al-Khattab or Madhab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Madhab Abdullah ibn Abbas, Madhab Mu'adh ibn Jabal, or who's your leader and your follower, he's Ali ibn Abi Talib. You don't have the Muslims into this, because the companions of the Messenger of Allah only taught the people that which was taught to them by means of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And ask Allah to make me among those people who only teach what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness, disability, failure, not being able to do what I have to do, and laziness, and greed, and cowardliness, and becoming senile, and the punishment of the grave. O Allah, give my soul taqwa, and purify it, because you are the best one who can purify me. You are the guardian of my soul, or you are the helper of my soul, and you are the master of my soul. O Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you from a heart that does not have any humbleness or submissiveness or fear. I seek refuge from a soul that is never satisfied, and from knowledge that doesn't benefit, and from dua that is not answered. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeking refuge in Allah from some of the things that we have heard in the past, and also he's adding some new things. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam had added in this part, O Allah, give my soul the taqwa. And that is, O Allah, give me the protection from doing wrong. Give me the strength that I need to stay away from the haram. As taqwa is the ability to stay away from that which Allah has made haram, and the strength or the ability to be engaged in that which Allah tabaraka ta'ala has made permissible. And as one of the ulama had said, that this taqwa is having the caution in you to stay away from following your own desires. That whenever you follow, when it would come to following your desires, that the alarm goes off and you're always cautious to stay away from following your own desires. And this is having that taqwa, to stay away from your desires and to stay away from sin and abominable deeds. And that we're asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us this taqwa, to keep us away from those things that are displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to purify ourselves, because you are the best of those who can purify us. And this is why we had started this class in general about the purification of the soul, to look at some of the ayat and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would help us to purify ourselves from all that is evil, and to help us do all that is good. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. You are the wali of our soul, and you are the mawla of our soul. You are the wali of our soul, meaning you are the one who could help our soul to do that which is right. And it as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is, it comes like this in Arabic often, is as if you're saying, O Allah, help my soul to do that which is pleasing to you, because you are the one who can help my soul. And you are the wali of my soul. You are the one who can help my soul. When you say, when you bear witness that Allah is the wali of your soul, what you're actually saying is, O Allah, you are the one who can help me, so help me do that which is pleasing to you. And when you say that you are the mawla or the master of my soul, it's like you're saying, Allah, as the master of a slave is the one who helps the slave, or the one who guides the slave to do that which is best for his master, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the example of Allah is above any example, but this is the phrase that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala uses so that it could be closer to our understanding, that Allah is the master of our souls, and He is in control and the controller of our hearts, and that we're asking Allah, the Mawla of us, that as Allah, You are the master and the controller of our hearts, groom our hearts on those things that You want from us. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to groom our heart to be of the righteous, of the type of hearts that only want to do those things that are pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us in this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-bukhli wal-jubni wal-harami wa'adhab al-qabr. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa-zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع وعلم لا ينفع ودعوة لا يستجاب لها. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in You. I seek refuge in You from disability and laziness and greed and stinginess and being a coward and being senile and from the punishment of the grave. Oh Allah, give my soul the taqwa and to purify. You are the best one who can purify. You are the wali of our souls and the mawla. Oh Allah, we seek refuge in You from knowledge, from a heart that doesn't submit, and from a soul that is never satisfied, and from knowledge that doesn't benefit, meaning knowledge that a person knows but he doesn't act upon. And that this encouragement to seek knowledge isn't just so we can just have something in our mind so we can say, I know. And unfortunately, sometimes it becomes the trend just to know with no intention to practice. And usually you find this trend where you find knowledge in abundance. You find that the people, they take it for granted. Oh yeah, alhamdulillah, we have lessons every day, we're learning this deen, and then it just becomes a type of a thing that makes the person feel that he's better than the next person because he knows more than the next person. Knowing more than the next person shouldn't make you feel better than the next person, it should make you act better than the next person. And this is what the knowledge is for, and we're seeking refuge in Allah from knowledge that doesn't benefit. And we know that the ulama, they used to teach us that a person who knows and doesn't act upon his knowledge is ignorant. You know, like they call them bad scholars, like they have in some of the Muslim countries. He's a scholar and he's smoking. As one of the brothers told me, he went to Quran class and the teacher is smoking. Everybody bring their Quran to school. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The brother, he went to an Islamic university in the Muslim country. He's looking for the dean. He's waiting in the dean's office. A man sitting there with a newspaper, no beard, smoking a cigarette, with kafir clothes on, and we're in the land of the Muslims. He's thinking this must be the secretary. And then he hears somebody call out his name. And he sees that person respond. He said, why he responding? That's the name of the dean of the Islamic university. And I don't want to name the university because people think that it's personal, but to leave it in general. And then he asked him, you so-and-so? He said, yeah. The brother just walked away because nobody has to stoop so low as to try to learn his deen from somebody like this. So it's not just about having the knowledge, but it's having the actions that go along with the knowledge. As they used to say, a person who is knowledgeable and doesn't work by his knowledge is ignorant. and that he shouldn't be considered among the knowledgeable, but he should be considered among the ignorant. Time for the lamb. This is what we have to offer today, and inshallah ta'ala, next week we will start on time at 6:30. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We have a question, and before I read it and I answer it, I want to stay away from that which someone was advising me, that they said I'm a little too hard on the people. And I thought that I wasn't, but when I deal with this question, I don't know how someone would say that I'm easy on the people. And really, I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we need to stop looking at one another in this way, that brother is too hard on me or this or that, when it comes to learning this deen. But we should really start looking at our lives and our characters to see if it's in accordance with what we're learning from this deen or not. Listen to this question. This question is about riba, usury or interest. How can a Muslim purchase a house without paying interest? If we cannot make major purchases without committing riba, then it seems that the Islamic community should have a way for Muslims to have these things. What should you do if you want to purchase a house but don't want to commit riba? Is there any way you can answer this question without the people feeling that you're going to be too hard on them? The whole attitude from this is a jahiliyyah, kafir, mushrik attitude of the people who will have nothing in the hereafter. And really, we have to start looking at ourselves. Is our goal in life to please Allah, or should have a way for the Muslims to have these things? We have the finest example of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, who before his death, walhamdulillah, conquered the whole Arabian Peninsula, and the da'wah started spreading to the rest of the world. And we know during the time of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Muslims conquered the dunya. The dunya was underneath the hands of the Muslims. And when some of the people, in one of the narrations, they met Umar bin al-Khattab in Jerusalem, Umar bin al-Khattab had his slave on the horse, and he was walking him into the city. And then Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lays under a tree on a rock. And the people come up, where is the leader of the world? Where is the leader of the world? That's him right there laying on that rock. This is the one in charge of the whole dunya? That's how he's living? That's how he's living. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a better example than Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's not for us to think that out of life we should be looking to own some house, or as they gave examples, the home and the car, etc. We're looking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do you want the Muslims to community to set up something for you to have these things if these things are only going to put you in debt? Really, this is a bad attitude, and I want to try to be as nice, and maybe the one who wrote this question can teach me how I can be nicer when I have questions like this. But it's just sad to see that, unfortunately, we just don't want to leave this dunya and strive for that which Allah has prepared for the believers in the hereafter from Jannah. Everything that we could want and imagine is in Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.